Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs and how through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here's Neighbors of Hope's Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning. I'm Pastor Stephen Palmer, Executive Director of Neighbors of Hope, and I welcome our listening audience to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. And as of late, we've been kind of alternating between hearing the voices from our men and then hearing the voices from our women. And this week, we're with our women here at the Women's Children's Center in Tecumseh. How are we doing, ladies?
Great.
A little tired, I think, but it's kind of that February season of light deprivation syndrome, I think, right? We're waiting for more sunlight to come in. But this is really the first Sunday in the Lenten season of 2021, and I thought for our kind of a Lenten reflection, we might look at what Jesus really beckons us to do, almost mandates, all right? And that's really the theme of repentance, and I'm sure everyone listening to this broadcast is familiar with repentance, and sometimes maybe it can just be a little too cliche for us, but the scripture I selected in order to look at that comes from Mark's Gospel. It's chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. So if I could have someone read, that'd be great. Thank you.
Okay. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news.
Okay. Three things happening for Jesus. Right? The time's come, right? The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe. This is good news. Now, I don't know about you. Have you ever had to repent?
Yes.
How'd that feel for you? Was that like good news?
Not easy.
But yet it is good news in the sense if you think about reconciliation, you know, which has this connotation of healing, right? A relationship that had been injured has been brought to wholeness and healing. You know, and as we said before we went on the air, you know, sometimes that those relationships don't necessarily go back to the way they were. But in a sense, both the offender and the victim are healthier so they can move on with their own lives. So there's an importance, right, of reconciliation. That first step towards reconciliation really has to come from repentance. Right? So how about we just share what our thoughts are on repentance in general.
Repentance means you repent for what you do wrong and don't do it again. And some people will say sorry and just keep doing it. And some people, you can't forget.
Okay, all right. Anybody else? Some thoughts? Experiences with repentance?
If you truly repent, you change your ways. You don't just do it over and keep doing it. Repentance, that's part of what it's required to change your way, to turn your back on that action, those type of things. Otherwise, you haven't really repented.
Right. Okay. Good.
Right. It's really hard, especially when you're suffering in the past, violent domestic. It's really hard. And when the people try to say, the people abused to you for so many, many years ago and say, can you forgive me? In this moment, you know, I can't say nothing. When he tried to say, like, can you forgive me? Just, like, I feel I can't, honestly. But if these things is so hard for me, but I don't know. Just, it's big hard for me.
Yeah, when we talk about forgiveness, you know, I teach, forgiveness is always on the timeline of the person who was injured.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The perpetrator, the offender, whoever caused the injury does not get to dictate when that forgiveness takes place. Right.
But it's really hard when the people say, sorry, I never do that again, but next day, they do it. It's like, it's not easy.
Yeah, so we were talking about change of behavior. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You got anything you want to add?
It's just, repentance is just deeper than saying I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
It's more heartfelt. Or at least, that's what I think it is.
Okay.
It's more along the lines of changing your ways and truly being sorry for what you've done or said or and asking for forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yeah.
So when I think of repentance, and we're hearing it, you know, it's one kind of saying you're sorry, you know, okay, there's an admission of guilt, right? Something about, you know, we want to change our ways, not do it again, these type of things, right? So I teach that repentance has three R's, right? You have to have these three things in order for it to be genuine repentance. The first is what we call remorse, a genuine remorse, not, you know, little Johnny getting his hand caught in the cookie jar, and Grandma says, you know, Johnny, don't do that. I just put those in there, and they came out of the oven. You know, wait until they cool off, all that kind of stuff, right?
Right.
Am I having a flashback? Right. And then, you know, an hour later, Grandma comes into the kitchen. There's Johnny with his hand in the cookie jar again. All right, you know, okay, that's not exactly it. Yeah, so the first one is you have to have a sense of remorse. You have to be genuinely emotively connected to the measure of the wound upon the victim, whoever you hurt.
Mm-hmm.
It almost hurts you, right? So you kind of have this emotive connectedness, genuine remorse, a sense of empathy, we would say, right? Not sympathy, I feel sorry for you, but empathy, you know, I feel with you. Emotionally, it's comparative to the impact in my own life. So you have to have remorse. Then you have to have this sense of what you're all talking about, the sense of renewal. There has to be this kind of change or transformation in my life, right? I don't do it again, is the way we've been putting it. There's this change in behavior. You know, so there's remorse, renewal, a life change, right? Well, I really hurt my wife. I'm not doing that again. Here I thought just taking, you know, some things out of the staff kitchen really wasn't going to hurt, right? My boss or my employer or anything like that. But come to find out, okay, I can't be doing it, right? Whatever it is, there has to be this genuine renewal. Then finally, the third thing that we rarely think about is restitution. All right, and restitution isn't always some sort of payment.
Right.
All right, it has a payment quality to it, but I'm not paying to be pardoned. All right, I'm not buying forgiveness. But if it's going to be genuine repentance, there has to be some sort of restitution. So, you take the husband, and for whatever reason, he forgets his wife's anniversary.
Their anniversary.
He forgets to get her a card and these type of things. And, oh, boy, you know, what am I going to do? All right? And he can say, right, it's COVID. it's we're living in Texas, right? It's the power went out. Right? It's Michigan, the middle of winter. We got, you know, 8 inches of snow on us. Oh, whatever. Honey, I'm sorry. And he's genuine. He's got, you know, a sense of remorse. All right? And if he's really good, he's not going to forget again.
All right.
So there's your renewal. What's the restitution? It's a symbolic gesture to validate his remorse and his change.
Make her a homemade card.
There you go. It's something. It's a symbolic gesture that validates, all right? So we see some of this even in our our courts of law when people they pay court fines, they may have some sort of community service, maybe some jail time or something, but there's a sense of restitution to right the wrong, right, in a symbolic way, right? It's not going to lighten their sentence at all, so they're not getting pardoned, right? But to whoever they stole the flat-screen TV from, you might want to buy them a new one. All right? So those are the three things we need to think about when we think about Jesus calling us to repent. So what do you think they need to repent from here? What do you need to feel remorseful here? What is the change of life? He kind of offers us some of that. And then what becomes the restitution? All right. So he tells us, the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, these people listening to him, begin following him and everything, they've been waiting for this basileia tau theou in the Greek. All right? Basileia means kingdom's not like a territory. You know, it's not a province somewhere. It's a it's the reign, the rule, the way of God. All right? Theou means God. We said in previous reflections and even recordings of our time here that when we think of God, we think of God least wrongly when we think of God as love. So basileia tau theou, the kingdom of God, can probably be most accurately understood as the way, the reign, the rule of love. Now, ladies, I'm pretty sure we've all been waiting for this, haven't we? In our own lives sometimes? All right. We're in a very polarized country, polarized world. Aren't we waiting for the way, the rule, the reign of love? So Jesus says, repent. So we should have a genuine remorse for not participating in that way. To participate means I might have to change some things. And we talked about Lent as a good time of preparing for Easter, the risen Christ, and generally looking at ways where I haven't really participated fully. And then what are some of the restitution? And Jesus says, I'll know you're remorseful. I'll know that you have transformed by the way you believe. That's your restitution. That's a symbolic gesture that you're participating. We talked about belief isn't just some intellectual affirmation. It's this level of trust. All right? Thus, over in Luke's Gospel, when Peter and Jesus, he says, hey, you got to forgive all the time. If your neighbor repents, you must forgive him 70 times 7. All right? But what if I don't like him? What if I don't like... If he's laid out all three of these, a genuine remorse, right, changed his ways, right, and symbolically, you know, brought the rake back.
Seriously, if you could see that somebody who's hurt you is truly remorseful and that they're changing and they're being a better person, then it makes it a lot easier to forgive them. It makes you want to forgive them. It makes it easier because forgiveness is not always easy.
Right. Right.
If you see that they're really trying, that they've done something, that they've made a change, it makes you want to forgive them.
Yeah. Yeah, because particularly for those of us who, you know, we've all experienced being the victim, right? Being the injured party to some offense. And when we see the remorse and the renewal, right? And an act of a symbolic gesture, restitution. That gives us a sense of validation that the one who injured us is saying, I know, I see, I feel, I hurt you. And oftentimes when we're victims, that's what we want most, is that this stuff that's welling up inside of me, and you say you didn't do anything, but I'm feeling this, that's not really going to cut it. But when they go, I see that I hurt you, we get that emotional validation. And that gives us a sense of liberation to where we can say, okay, let's try and move forward now.
There are those people that it does not hurt because they don't feel it.
Right.
So no matter what they do, if they don't feel it, it don't hurt.
Right.
They can treat you any way they want to, and it's all right.
Well, I think sometimes coming in here, we feel that we have to repent for people that we've hurt. I mean, people who are out there and won't take us into their home, and that's why we have this place to be at right now, to find a way to make that peace with God. And the way that we do that, and the way that they see that, is by the change behavior that we can bring to them through the changes that happen when we have awareness and a closer relationship with God.
Yep, yep. And so repentance is very important when this time of the church year, Lenten season. That's why we give up certain things, whatever they are. We give up one thing so that we can spend more time with the one thing, God. Well, thank you, ladies. We appreciate all your comments and shared reflections with our listening audience this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. So until we meet again, may God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you all.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include our men's ministry and women and children's ministry, our social enterprises, Blessings and More Resale Store, Woven Hope and Recycling Center, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, and this radio ministry program, Word Made Flesh. Find out how you can become a Neighbor of Hope at neighborsofhope.com. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.